I went to Super Nintendo World at Epic Universe this week, and I punched way too many things. Plus, what constitutes an indie game in 2025? Tonight is December 14th, 2025, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. Okay, I'll let you go. You talk.
Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters.
I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it.
Billy OK says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say?
And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Coming back from 2 weeks off, trying to remember all my buttons and everything and making sure that I have everything open and correct. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a December edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history or talk about things that aren't really video games at all, but are tangentially about them. That is us. This is the Bobby Blackwell Show, and my name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We had 2 weeks off, or we had 1 week off. We last saw 2 weeks ago, and I am the only one here tonight until for further notice, but maybe we'll have some news about that maybe next week. I don't know. But thank you for being here. We do try to tape the show live just about each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice of Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. But this is a podcast. I do understand that Sunday nights are kind of hard for some people. And if you can't be here on Sunday nights, that's totally okay. We do have a Discord server you can join. VogNetwork.com/Discord is where you can suggest topics for future shows. Sometimes I use them. Sometimes, like this week, I had other stuff planned. Yeah, so you can join us there and give feedback or talk about things that you wanted to hear in the future. So we will not be here the first Sunday of January, which I believe is January 4th, I believe. Yes. The first show of 2026 will be January 11th. And I will not be here because I will be at Awesome Games Done Quick 2026. This is my 11th time on the main stage hosting. Don't know how many more I'm going to be able to do for various reasons, but I've been sitting on what I've been doing. I've had my schedule for a couple weeks, but it could always be subject to change, and it can still change. And I wanted to fill you in on when you'll be able to hear me on Awesome Games Done Quick. And so I will be on Monday and Thursday. And as Jonah Matt says, crazy that it's 11. Yes, it is very wild that it is 11. It doesn't feel like it because half of those were in the online era. So I wasn't actually there for most of, or actually I think now I'm getting to the point where I've done more in person than online, but I think it was 5 and 5 for a bit because I started when in summer of 2020 when there was no in-person thing to do. It doesn't feel like I've done it 11 times, but I definitely have. So for time number 11 with GDQ, I'm going to be on the air Monday and Thursday evenings in the U.S. If you are in the U.S. and the times that we have here are East Coast time, and they are also subject to change. So starting at about 9:40 p.m. Eastern, which is 6:40 p.m. Pacific, I'm going to be hosting Mario Kart World. Helix is going to be running all question mark panels. And what's interesting is I've actually rated him from my personal Twitch channel as he was practicing this category, like, right after Mario Kart World came out, so several months ago. And basically, it's how fast can you get to all the question mark blocks in the open world? So you're racing around the open world, and you're trying to get all of those. So that is by that's going to be done by Helix, who also does this. They're most known for their Super Monkey Ball speedruns. So they're very entertaining. They've been a lot of fun to work with. I've met them before. So very excited to actually get to work with Helix again. So right after their run of Mario Kart World at about 10:20 p.m. Eastern, so 7:20 p.m. Pacific. Jack 3, no out-of-bounds restricted race. So what that essentially means, this is a race of Jack 3 for the PlayStation 2. It's being run by Bintendo and Zyfels. They are going to be racing each other. And they are, this is basically, they can use glitches, but they can't go out of bounds. So that's because I guess if you go out of bounds, the run's not really interesting. It may be done in like 3 minutes or whatever, and that's not really interesting for this. So not going out of bounds is going to be the challenge here for them. They can use other glitches, but they can't go out of bounds. And then after that, at about 11:40 p.m. Eastern, about 8:40 p.m. Pacific, is Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. This is going to be going through all bosses, and this is by Jaxler, who I have hosted for before. Very entertaining runner, always has a very entertaining couch, very entertaining, does a lot of stuff with like movement tech and things like that. So going through all bosses, that is going to be Monday night at AGDQ. That is Monday, January 5th. Then Thursday, January 8th, starting at 7:50 p.m. Eastern, which is about 4:50 p.m. Pacific, I once again have a game that Earthbound is better than, Super Metroid. This is a GT Classic, and I got to admit, I have not actually looked up what GT Classic means, but GT Classic, Ryan Ford is going to be running that category of Super Metroid, so obviously you're going to have saving the kid and killing the animals as an incentive and all that fun stuff. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then right after that, at about 8:50 p.m. Eastern or 5:50 p.m. Pacific, I got the Arcade Rhythm Game Showcase. I have MyMy DX Prism Plus. This is an arcade showcase by both Star Rod Kirby 86 and Kirby Catcher. Lots of Kirby's going on here. And They're going to be actually doing a big set list. I think it's a 55-minute set list. They are actually doing it in person. I know there was a question in our Discord. It's going to be remote. They're going to, you know, have it. No. They are actually, I've already seen some of the conversations between Games Done Quick and the capture equipment and the arcade operator to bring the arcade machine up from the arcade that is out in the hotel that they're bringing MyMy. And they're going to set it up on the floor, and they're going to be playing it live on stage at the venue. And there's going to be specific layouts and everything that GDQ has been making. And so I will be reading donations at very specified points during that, usually when they're... a lot of times with the rhythm games, it's during the cooldown periods when they're cooled down. Or if it's a song that they deem... to be something that you can read a donation or two over. We're going to be working all that out. They've been working on this and working on the set list for a couple months now, and I'm being brought in at this point. So, MyMy, if you don't know what MyMy is because you're listening on the podcast feed, it looks like a washing machine. It's a circle. There's a circular screen. And on the edges, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 8 buttons along the edges of the circle. And you basically need to hit those buttons, or you can hit the touchscreen. It's a touchscreen as well. When the note comes in from the center, the note basically goes from the center, goes toward the outside, and then you hit the note. And there are also slides and swipes and things that you have to do on the touchscreen as well, other than just those buttons. And it looks like a washing machine. So that is the game that they're going to be showing. You will see both the direct feed of the screen as well as a video of the person actually playing it. You can even probably, I think they're even working on here, you'll be able to hear the clacks. So you can hear the clacks of the screen and everything. So big, huge undertaking. Really, really honored that GDQ trusted me with the big rhythm game showcase this year. They've trusted me with a bunch of stuff in the past couple of years, so it's been really great. So the Breakman says, I can see it, but I still don't know what I'm looking at. I should do laundry, but I don't want to. I understand. Don't do laundry in an arcade cabinet, though. Dark Tetsuya says, I got to try to get out to round one, the arcade area. Sword of Nearest, they probably have some flavor of it. They probably do. I think they have some, like, MyMy's and Waka's and stuff are at the round ones. Bregman asks, how did Bobby get Super Metroid? Have they never heard the show? What's next? Halo? I already have hosted Halo. That was at a GDQX, the GDQ Express at TwitchCon. I totally hosted for Halo there. I've hosted for several first-person shooters that you would never think that I was. Just, I don't have to commentate on them. I just have to read donation comments from them. The Breakman asks, remember when laundromats had arcade games? The good old days. I mean, you know, there's if you want to go back to that time, random tangent, Arcade Paradise, indie title that came out a couple of years ago. That's actually the story, is that you basically you are running a laundromat and you decide to put an arcade in the back. And it's all about it's kind of like a simulator, like a business simulator type of thing. But you also play the games. In order to do well, you actually have to like do well in those games and stuff. But it's, and then like in between that, you're also like doing laundry for customers because it's a full serve system. And yeah, so if you want to go back to that time, go get Arcade Paradise. And SaidMonkey11 says, why would they have water near electronics? So usually the arcades would be in the other section of the laundromat. That's what it used to be. And DJ Rama S says, I remember this one laundromat that had this epic Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles machine where each quarter was four lives. That's a good arcade operator or a bad arcade operator. I don't know. It depends on like, you know, how much money they want to get. But then again, at a laundromat, they're like, you're going to be here anyway. Let's make it cheap for you to be entertained, and maybe you'll wash more loads. You know, who knows? Four lives per quarter. It's amazing. All right. So, so that's going to be at Awesome Games Done Quick. It's benefiting the Prevent Cancer Foundation. When you donate, if you donate during my runs, don't mention me. If you want to get read on the air, don't mention me. If you don't want to get read on the air, you can mention me and I'll probably read it to myself, but I won't be reading things about me on the air. So keep your donation. Here's a general GDQ tip. If you want your donation read on the air, make it short, make it about the run or the current incentive that the host is really pushing towards. Those will pretty much guarantee that you at least get in the running. Then it becomes a, can we read all of them in time? But the shorter the donation, the easier it is to get in, because a lot of times they're like, you have time for like, 5 seconds. And if you write a paragraph, I can't read a paragraph in 5 seconds. I can talk fast, but I can't talk that fast. DJ Romas continues about the TMNT. Most TMNT machines had two or three lives. Three, I believe, is the default if you don't change the options. If you have MAME, you can figure all this out and do it yourself. But I believe five was the max. So, you know, the laundromat, they were good, but they weren't great. You can set it anywhere from a quarter B, anywhere from like one to five lines, I believe, on lives on TMNT. So, so let's talk about where I was last week. That's where I was. That's where I'm going to be in a few weeks. But last week I was I did the theme park thing. And I am here resting. I came home to rest. And because we drove down to Orlando, and we did five straight days of theme parks. I'm only going to talk really about one of the five. But we did five straight days of theme parks. We did 2 days at Universal. So we did Universal Orlando, Universal Studios Orlando, and Islands of Adventure. That was one day. Did not ride any of the Potter rides. Except unfortunately, you can hate me for this. We did ride the train to get between the two parks instead of walking between the parks. But we didn't do any of the other rides, didn't go in any of the shops of that stuff. It's kind of hard to do Universal without going through any of that. So I did basically the least, and I didn't feel like walking between the two parks because we started in Islands of Adventure, rode the train over to Universal, and then rode back to Islands of Adventure at the end because that's where our locker was that we stored things in. So did that on the first day, but on the second day we did Epic Universe, which is the third theme park. It's in a different area. It's a couple miles down the road from the main parks, and it is. That is where Super Nintendo World is, which is what we're going to be spending the majority of our time talking about here today. And the Super Nintendo World is one of five lands in Epic Universe, and I did not see any of the others. It is a lot like Magic Kingdom in the sense where there's like kind of the central area, and there's the centerpiece at the center of the park, and then there are different lands as spokes from that center area. And in Epic Universe, they call it the Celestial Hub. And then you go into different worlds. There's a How to Train Your Dragon world. There is a Harry Potter world. There is a Monsters world, which is like Frankenstein and, you know, Dracula and classic monsters like that. And I think there's another world. But it doesn't matter because we went into the Super Nintendo one and didn't leave. We stayed there until close. So, we went into Super Nintendo World, which has the three rides, and it has the game, mini game that you can play, and it's very Nintendo-y. So we're going to talk about what's there at Epic Universe in Orlando. We were actually able, we spent the whole day there. We got there a little bit right after it opened, probably about 10 a.m., and they closed at 7, and that's when we left. And of the five parks, the other three, if you're wondering, so Wednesday we did Epcot, Thursday we did Hollywood Studios with Galaxy's Edge and Rise of the Resistance and all that, and Friday we did Animal Kingdom, which, you know, I've never been to Animal Kingdom before, now I know why, and I did not fit in the Navi ride, so I could not do Flights of Passage. Unfortunately, the cast member did not allow me to ride the ride, but I fit in everything else I tried. So that's the Disney portion of that. So Super Nintendo World has, you go in, and the thing about Epic Universe and this is that they didn't have a lot of square footage. And what this means is that they had to do a lot of things vertically. And even though of the 5 days, the least amount of steps we did was the day we did Super Nintendo World, it had the most amount of stairs. Lots of stairs. In fact, the area itself is two stories, and you go up and down stairs to get to various things. And that's a lot of stairs. We wound up starting like about midday. We were like, we're taking the elevator. They have elevators on and several things. So we were on the elevators with the people with strollers and in wheelchairs and things like that. But it's a lot of stairs. And even when you go into the rides, Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge is underground. So you go down three stories. But the Donkey Kong Minecart Madness and Yoshi thing, they're upstairs. So they're actually above everything. So it's a lot of stairs. It was the least amount of steps, but the most amount of stairs. But we got there. We did not pay extra for any kind of fast pass or anything, which I can't remember what they call it, because it was $130 per person, and we could have skipped the lines. And we're like, you know what? Yeah, we were only going to do Super Nintendo World. And yes, the waits were posted to be 120 minutes is how long. So we waited 2 hours. For the rides. It really was like the first one was like 90 minutes to do Mario Kart, and so when it was posted as 120. But yeah, so we stood in line a lot. We could have paid $130 and only stood in line for like 5 to 10 minutes, but we didn't do that. Our time was better than that. But one of the things that you get, other than those three rides, there is the game, the mini game that goes on. So they have a game in their app that that you basically play if you get this paywalled. It's all paywalled, and you get a power-up band. And they have 8 of these, and they're characters. I got Diddy Kong because I didn't think most people would have Diddy Kongs. So I got Diddy Kong. My wife got Peach because that was hers. Now, unlike Disney's Magic Bands, if you know what Magic Bands are, all this is an amiibo. It literally is just an amiibo. In fact, it works as an amiibo. Any game that accepts a Diddy Kong amiibo, the amiibo is right in here, and you can use it on your Switch. And unlike a Magic Band that, you know, has the strap and, you know, like a watch band, this is a slap bracelet. That's all it is. So it's a slap bracelet. And so it's you know, as loose as it tight as it can be as a slap bracelet. And you wear this around. And because it's got the amiibo, there's a bunch of sensors around the park that are amiibo sensors. And you basically, there's a QR code behind this Magic Band, and you tie it up to your app. That's the picture you take, and it goes into your app that you have with Epic Universe, and there's a whole, like, achievements and stamps, and you collect coins. And with what you're supposed to do is around, there's all these blocks around, like question marks, and you punch them to you know, get coins. Now, here's the thing. Here's how I was doing it, because you know what? It's an amiibo. So obviously the block is here, and I'm making a vertical line with my top hand. And on my left hand, on my left wrist is the amiibo is the power-up band with a little disc on the top. And so it's a disc, kind of like an amiibo, base of an amiibo. And I would punch with my wrist so the top of the power-up band hit the block. The part of my wrist underneath where that was is still sore on Sunday. You probably don't need to actually hit it with your amiibo. You could probably hit it with your fist, but you have to punch up at it. Or what I saw somebody doing later was that they actually wore the power-up bands like brass knuckles and punched up with their knuckles instead of on the wrist. So that was a painful lesson learned. So if you get the Magic Band, don't punch with your wrist. I did a lot. So there was a lot of that going on. There are stamps you can go around. There's even secret things you have to play. There's a row of like seven music blocks. And you basically punch the notes that show up. And then that, you know, okay, you played the purple song, you played the blue song. But then there are also secret songs that you learn from the internet that, oh, if it's red, you actually want to play this sequence of notes. And if you hit any other note, it resets. Now, the fun part here is if you actually do care about that stuff, it's very hard. And this is the same problem, or not the same problem, the same issue that you run into if you go to a Meowwolf installation, which is also kind of like, it's an art installation, but it can be a game and you can get really deep into it. But unfortunately at Meowwolf, and unfortunately in Super Mario, most people are just there for the, haha, I want to make notes come out, haha, I'm punching a block. So what'll happen is you'll be trying to unlock these things and somebody with their kid who runs up and the kid starts playing and making noise when you're trying to unlock all of these things. So because most people there don't realize there's actually a game going on that is scored. And I'll even show you a little bit of that a little bit later. So most people don't realize that, plus it's also paywalled. And there actually is an entire attraction gated behind this this power-up band. If you get three keys, and there are six keys available, if you get three keys from the outside by doing certain events, putting together a puzzle, things like that, if you get three keys, then you can fight Bowser Jr., which is kind of like a Kinect. It's a Kinect-style game. Microsoft Kinect game. But you can only do that if you have the power-up band, and that is an entire, like, five-minute wait attraction that is gated behind this extra paywall. So, those are a little, like, those games are a little bit, you know, there's always a somebody who's working that attraction to get the keys and stuff, so it's not as bad as getting the random stamps. Anyway, Breakman asks, will Bowser Jr. be stuck as a child forever? Yes. Who is Bowser Jr.'s mom? We never did figure that one out. All right. So let's talk about the rides. And one of the things that I wound up actually doing is I took a whole bunch of pictures from the ride, from the ride queue. Because I will say that the ride queue for Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge was actually really well done. And there's a whole lot of in-jokes in here that I really appreciated. And because the first time we went through, we had a 90-minute wait. We wrote it again later with a 20-minute wait. It was great. But so I did actually write it twice. But the queue is actually really well done with, you know, a bunch of Mario Kart Easter eggs that you would know. There's a little area here where I'm like, this is where we should stream from. It's right here because there's like a little, you know, it's a TV truck, the MKTV truck. But they have all of the trophies and even the Universal Trophy, which you can buy for, I think, $40. You can buy that trophy if you win it. But the fun part is actually reading all the books in the library. So there's a whole bunch of these books in Bowser's library because you're in Bowser's castle, basically. And it's, you know, there's a lot of puns. There's a lot of, like, deep lore about, you know, Mario Kart. And I thought I was going to be able to read some of these, but I can't read them all that well. Feeling Down, A Guide to Anti-Gravity. They're full screen on the screen, but I don't have it full screen on my thing. We were going through and just cracking up at a lot of the book titles. Like, I think my favorite was like The Romantic's Guide to Not Falling in Lava or something like that, was one of my favorite ones. And throughout the attraction, there are also little screens that have boos. And so it kind of like looks like nothing. And then a boo comes out and then, you know, goes away and stuff. Just, you know, things that you can see. And there's like entire shelves about like specific things like ba-bombs and stuff and stuff. So as you go through, it's something kind of neat to go through and be like, oh, I get that. I understood that reference. I was going through. I understood that reference. Yeah. Right. Walking Your Ba-Bomb is one. So there's Moo Moo Farmer's Almanac. The Truth About Bloopers. And there's one of the boo screens in there. There's The Romantic's Guide to Falling in Lava. There it is. The Legendary Shortcuts of Rainbow Road. And, yeah, Dark Titsy is saying, these are all good. I'm actually, like, showing a slideshow on Twitch. And, yeah, like, there. That's why I took, like, 30 pictures of just the books. Because it was good. They had some really fun writing sessions coming up with all of these. Bringing Bananas to a Shell Fight. Cloudtrop Cruise, Director's Guide. The Blue Shell Cometh is on that one. Secrets of the Super Circuits. World Conquering 101. Camera in the Clouds by Lakitu. And the Breakman says they have plenty of unused books. They could keep this going. Yes, they actually can. Don't Shrink from Lightning, self-help books. And then as you go through the queue, you can find some more, there's the big telescope from the move, from some of the stuff. Oh, Seize the Day Beginning, Seize the Day, the Second Seizing, Seize the Day, Thrice Thwarted, Going in Circles, Winning Big in Baby Park. That was a fun one. I was like, I've done that. But as you get to the end here, you can see there's Bowser's Throne. He's got pictures of Peach. Around Dem Bones, a dry Bowser story. Bill's a coming, but you can see that they're kind of building the story about Peach here, and you know, talking about how he really wants Peach. The long wah down, descending from Wario's mountain. There, I think the sign there, one of the signs there was like teamwork means Bowser wins or something like that. So because he's trying to get all his Koopalings to help him win, because that's kind of the theme, that's the story of the ride. Bowser is a true romantic, according to the Breakman. Yes. Then you go into like a little factory where they're like they're testing bombs, and some of them work, some of them explode before going out. So they've put in a lot of work. So like a lot of times, like the queue is just as interesting as the ride itself. And in fact, there's more stuff to look at in the queue than there is in the ride, because the ride is a augmented reality ride. So it's a slow moving dark ride is what their dark ride's what it's actually called. What you basically, they give you this this helmet early on, and you put it on your head. It's a Mario hat, and it's got a little thing that detaches. And then when you get in the ride itself, that is when you get the augmented reality part onto your headset. And then you go around and you are both steering, because you have to drift, and you are firing at things which you are aiming with your head. And your car is turning left and right, it's rotating and things like that, and you're trying to basically get at least 100 coins. And if everybody does that, or if you do that, then you win. Team Mario wins. So it is one of those type of games that you have to actually play. It's not just a ride that you sit in, it's a ride that you play. And I did pretty well. Actually, my wife actually beat me both times. She had like 15 more coins than me. I think the first time I had 115 coins and she had 137. And then the next time I had 134 coins and she had 148 or something. I don't know. Breakman says, firing with your head sounds weird. It is, especially when you're like me and you don't have stereo vision. Like, which eye am I supposed to look at to figure it out? So basically, you start off in the ride, you start off and they give you like, you know, unlimited shells for a little bit. But then you have like, you get like 10 shells and you need to hit the enemy. You don't want to hit your friends because like Mario's racing too and them. And then as you go through, you will run over a question mark block and it will give you 15 shells or 20 shells. And then at the very end, you do have Bowser that you're fighting and you're firing your shells at Bowser and things like that. And Dark Tatsuya says, outside of the air stuff reminds me of the Toy Story 1 Disneyland had. No, it still has it. Once upon a time, it's even still in Hollywood Studios. Breakman says, I totally hit my friends. Then you wouldn't score well. That's fine. You can do that. And then it gets uploaded into your app and things like that. Because you tap your power-up band to the steering wheel, and then it syncs that up to you. So that was what that was. And I will show that in the app, by the end of the day, I was in 16th place, overall. This is, across the entire, this was the rankings that I had, for that day. First place had triple the amount of coins as second place, and second place had the double amount of coins to third place. And then basically we were all kind of right here. I will say that, my wife was only two rankings behind me. She was 18th and I was 16th. One of the interesting things though, is I tried to, my name on there, and you can see it on here, is Bobby B. Wolf. I tried to put Bobby Black Wolf. It wouldn't let me. Apparently, black is a word that you cannot use. That is a combination of letters you cannot use in this app. So I ended the day in 16th place over the day, but I'm also like one of the top 10,000 that has ever been at Super Nintendo World at Epic Universe. So, you know, go me. So then I wanted to kind of pivot a little bit to the food, because then we actually did go get food. We went to Toadstool Cafe. The way that they do it there is in order to kind of speed up getting people through is, as you're in line, you do the mobile order when you're in line. Then they seat you at your table. You scan your QR code, and then they bring it out to you. So there's no, you don't talk to the waiter beforehand. There's really no waiter. There's people that bring you your food. There's people that clean up your food. And we wound up actually doing it for both lunch and dinner. And it is very mushroomy, if you like mushrooms. So my wife got the Luigi burger, which had, and I can't, I feel bad now because I don't remember exactly what was in there. We got some garlic knots that were shaped like mushrooms. I got a mushroom that was a pizza. So instead of the pizza crust on the bottom, the pizza crust is the top. It's the cap of the mushroom. And then we got the, I got the tiramisu, which is like a question mark tiramisu, and those are crackers that you can eat. And then I can't remember what the cake was that's in the back, but it's green, and I should have probably written all this down. But yeah, the food looked interesting. Once you got in, basically the pizza thing that I had was once you got out into the bread in the top, then it was all the pizza toppings were on the inside. It was more like a soup. Then at night, we did... I think I did the fettuccine Alfredo with a little Parmesan Yoshi crust. She got the Mario burger this time. And then what we actually got was from one of the other tables is there's also a Princess Peach cake, which I know that's a yellow cake with icing and some other stuff. And it's an actual full-on cake. And they were a family of four and couldn't finish it. So they're like, do you want the last piece? We got a free piece of cake. And then we got the soups, so... In terms of the burgers, the Luigi burger that was showed here, That's actually a chicken burger. Grilled chicken, basil pesto, Swiss cheese, green pepper, and spinach served on a brioche bun with a side of truffle French fries. The Mario Burger is basically beef patty, bacon, mushrooms, lettuce, tomato, Thousand Island dressing, and American cheese. The pizza bowl that I had was mozzarella, sausage, pepperoni, and mushroom marinara sauce tossed with super mushroom pizza. You bet you didn't think you were getting Bobby Food Wolf here today, but here you go. Yeah, and then I got the next time the Yoshi Mushroom Alfredo. And then what those are the soups that in the mushroom heads. And the soups was a mushroom soup. It was basically creamy mushroom stuff with mushroom super mushroom crackers. And I believe I have a picture. Yeah, and the crackers actually have a little mushroom head. Bregman asks, does everything have freaking mushrooms? Yes, because it's toads. They're mushrooms. Everything you could ask for, no mushrooms. You can actually do that. And then the desserts, the tiramisu was the one that I had that actually has question marks on it. And then the Mount Beanpole cake is what my wife got, and that's the thing with the green topping. Chocolate, vanilla, and strawberry layered cake topped with a matcha mousse. No mushrooms in that one. But you can ask for, like, no mushrooms on a lot of them. So we actually ate there for lunch, and then we went back for dinner so we could have a bunch of other things because we didn't leave the park. It was great. I did want to point this out because I don't know if... there are a couple people that are going to get this joke. The last picture in my vertical section here is the locker that we got at Epic Universe because we store like a backpack in there, so we're not carrying everything around. And also because it was like going cold to hot to cold, it was where we like stored our hoodie when we didn't need it in the afternoon. And the number that they gave us for our locker, I know SSJ when I'm mad at least, will understand why. I don't say I'm triggered by things a lot, and that's a very harsh word, but This locker number was not what I wanted to see. And for those like Pod Culture who hate sports, the locker I got was 3-28. And if you know anything about American football and Super Bowls and things that might have happened in 2016, 2017, you know why that hurt. Anyway. Let's go back into the real slideshow over here. So we did go. So that was Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. Yoshi, the Yoshi ride is essentially it's a people mover. It's a very slow people mover, but you are trying to find eggs. So it is still interactive. There's eggs hidden around and you have to hit a button to get the golden egg. And as you're going through the queue for Yoshi, you'll see that there's like a green block in there. That's a stamp. If you hit that and it shows like a color. A colored egg shows up when you do that, when you hit that block, and you get a stamp for it. But yeah, and so they've really stylized the queue line as Yoshi's World. You really felt like you were in there. Yoshi's Island is in references are in here, and so it's actually like way up at the top. This is a picture I'm showing that's from like the second floor of Yoshi of Super Nintendo World, so you can tell that it's very vertical. It's not very it's not very wide. It's very vertical. So like the cafe is on the first floor, but right above it is the entrance to Mario Kart, which is actually underground. Then Yoshi, the entrance to the Yoshi line, is actually on the first floor, but you go up. The hardest part of Mario Kart is the stairs coming back. That was the hardest part of it. So I actually rode a roller coaster. So Mario, the Donkey Kong in the Donkey Kong Land, there's the Minecart Madness. And so it was themed a little bit like, you know, like going through a temple. So you would go through and, you know, see a bunch of different Donkey Kong things. There actually was an animatronic Cranky Kong that was actually like telling stories and stuff. So that was actually a real, like, animatronic, not fake or anything. So that was actually kind of impressive. In fact, I do actually have a video of Cranky Kong speaking here.
Hey, you! Don't walk away from me! I done it! Now, if
Run into Dixie Kong. You tell her to get back here pronto. That girl's got more guts than common sense. But the Tiki Tak tribe ain't nothing to mess with.
So it's a good little, it is actually a very good animatronic that's right there, and you basically, as you're going through, you can sit and listen to that. So Tiger Claw is the movie voices, I don't know. You just heard it. You tell me. That was what that was. So as you're going through the park, there is one last thing that I wanted to show. And it's when you're going through the park, you can actually find these little secret pixel holograms of characters. You're looking for them, an M logo. And when you hit when you actually touch your power up band to an M logo, a pixel comes up. And a pixel character comes up, and if you find 8 of them, you get another stamp. And there's one that I'll play this video for you a couple times, and there's no audio for this video. But there's one that I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on? So as this loads up, so you find the little M here, you touch your power up band to it, and this one, Toad is flicking you off. Like, I mean, come on, really? So you put up the band, you do this, and then Toad flicks you off. Like, I mean, Toad's a dick, says the brake man. That's right. So I don't know why Toad is so angry here, but he is. Very rude. Very rude, Toad. Did I enjoy it? Yes, obviously, because I also talked for 45 minutes and probably not going to get to the rest of the stuff that I was going to do tonight. But really did enjoy my time. I was able to handle the roller coaster. It is no, there's no inversions on the roller coaster. There are banks. So if you don't necessarily like going sideways, you're not going to do well on Minecart Madness. And I'm not, but I closed my eyes, so I was fine. And, you know, it was good. I will say that you get a stamp in your app if you rode, ride the rides, and it picks it up by proximity. But for whatever reason, my wife didn't get credit for riding the roller coaster when I did. And so they actually brought somebody out with an iPad that actually gave us the stamp. They, you know, tapped our amiibo and gave it to us. It was a lot of fun. It is expensive to be there. It's even more expensive if you want to skip the lines. But throughout the day, lines change. Like I said, we waited 2 hours we waited 90 minutes to do Mario Kart in the morning. And then at night, it was a 20-minute wait. And we just walked right in. We basically skipped the room we skipped was the one that had the Mario Kart TV stuff in it. So that was my Tuesday, and the stairs were something. In terms of like the rest of the stuff that we did, I finally did Galaxy's Edge over at Hollywood Studios. We did Rise of the Resistance, which is just as cool as everybody says it is. There are multiple rides now that use that same ride system, though. The Ratatouille ride in Epcot uses the same ride system, and the new Mickey in Hollywood Studios, what they changed the Great Movie Ride to was like a Mickey Mouse's Runaway Train, also the same ride system. Did Smuggler's Run twice because we had a Lightning Lane for it, and it was only a 10-minute wait, so we did it then. The thing about Smuggler's Run is, once again, you get people who are there to ride the ride, and Smuggler's Run is actually a game. This is the original ride that came with Galaxy's Edge. This is where you're in the Millennium Falcon, and you have two people that are pilots, two people that are gunners, and two people that are engineers. And you're all doing things. And it changes what the ride is. And the first time we rode it, we didn't really care. I was a gunner, and my wife was an engineer, and we had two pilots, and one of the pilots was just so not into it. And in fact, his I guess girlfriend or wife or something was actually reaching over to hit the buttons for him because he was just not interested, because the person who's on the right actually does the lever to go to light speed. And they're like, do it. And like the voices are like, and so she had to reach over to actually do it because he's just like, I'm here to ride the ride. So I did the gunner thing. Questbuster says I went with manual aiming. I didn't know how to aim. I don't think I hit anything. It was just like hit the button. So I'm like, I hit the button when there were things on screen. And the engineer basically just, when buttons light up, you hit them. So stuff. But the second time we went through, we actually were like, we want to be pilots. So they actually gave us pilots. And one pilot goes left and right. One goes up and down. We did a little bit better then. There was a question, was the Rise of the Resistance line crazy long, according to Esther and Matt? So, yes, and but no. Like, nothing was as long as anything in Epic Universe. So, we stayed on property. So, we actually stayed at a Disney resort, which meant that we got early access to the parks by about 30 minutes. So, MGM Studios, it's not called that anymore. Disney Hollywood Studios opened at 9 a.m. for everybody, but opens at 8:30 a.m. for resort guests. And so we got there right at 8:30, and we could, when we went into Galaxy's Edge, there was a line of where the normal guests were, and then we went and scanned our magic bands, and yes, we were allowed into Galaxy's Edge. So it was only a 45-minute wait to get to Rise of the Resistance, whereas normally we saw it at like 60 to 70-minute wait. Unfortunately, the lightning lane that you can purchase for it was sold out for this day, so we couldn't even buy our way in. The only one of those we purchased was for Na'vi Flights of Passage in Animal Kingdom, in which I did not fit. Now, you notice I haven't mentioned that I didn't fit in anything else, which was a worry in Universal. There was basically, like, Mario Kart. They were a tight fit for me. I'm a larger person, but I carry it in different ways. But we were able to fit in Mario Kart and the Minecart Madness and, you know, the Yoshi one. It was just fine. Breakman says, I hate those express lanes. I love them. But that's because I can, you know, pay for it, and not everybody can because it's expensive. I didn't pay for them at Epic Universe because it was literally $130, but that got you through everything. But I did get the multi lightning lane pass for the three parks we went to, and since I don't ride roller coasters, Epic's single pass was for the Guardians of the Galaxy one, which I didn't ride. Rise of the Resistance was sold out, and we did get the one for Flights of Passage, but we got a refund on it. Because it was the last thing we were going to do, and the back restraint would not click. Esther and Matt asked if we went to Haunted Mansion. That's at Magic Kingdom. That was the park we skipped, because we did that one when Tron was there. That was on July 4th, like 2 years ago. We did Magic Kingdom just to ride Tron twice, which I don't fit in those seats either, but they have the executive seats in the back that are actually bucket seats, and you're not on the light cycle. But I did that a couple years ago, so we did not go back to Magic Kingdom. Probably won't go back to Animal Kingdom at this point because there's really nothing there for us. It's more for younger people than us. And since I don't fit on the one ride that everybody likes, why go? Yeah, Questbrother says, I remember when FastPass tickets were free. You just grabbed one and showed up at the time stamped on it. Yeah, I remember those too because that was the kind of the gimmick of when Rob was taking me to Disneyland, when Rob Roberts was taking me to Disneyland. I believe Jamie probably was with us one of the times. It was like, okay, we're going to go in the park. We're going to run over here, and we're going to get the fast pass for this. And then we're going to run over here and get the fast pass for this. We're going to run over here and get the fast pass for this. And then we're going to go enjoy the park. And it was kind of like, you know, because they were California residents, they knew these. They knew the order. They're like, go here, go here, go here, boom, boom, boom. And so we were able to get those. Theme parks are fun. Especially those. I'm not a big roller coaster guy, but I can handle like thrills. And I could have handled Flights of Passage if I could have just sat in it and had it click. Universal, I didn't really have that much problem with anything. But the thing about Universal Studios, and this is also a complaint at Hollywood Studios as well, is that a lot of rides nowadays that they make is all the same ride. So at Universal Studios and Islands of Adventure, and I believe probably even at Epic Universe as well, at some of the other areas, it is exactly the same ride. It is, we're going to put you in a car or some kind of motion vehicle that has maybe three rows with four people in a row, maybe. And we are going to take you from one IMAX screen to another. This one is Spider-Man. This one is Transformers. Or maybe we'll put you in a tram cart where we're going to have two IMAX screens on the left and right of you. And we're just going to take you from one set of IMAX screens to another. And like this one's Kong Skull Island. This one's Fast and Furious. And I believe a lot of the Potter rides are also, we're going to take you from one IMAX screen to another, except this one's going to be, you know, unless it's like actually like a roller coaster. E3 Veil is it a curved screen? Yeah, they're all curved screens. But they'll take you from like one to another. And so you'll go and you'll watch like a 10-second screen on this one thing, and then you'll like whisk around to this other screen. So there's some real elements. Spider-Man actually does have a real fireball, but like Fast and Furious has a bunch of explosions going on and they're just in the screen. So there's not actual real explosions going on there. So, and as Sharon Matt says, the Runaway Railway that I was talking about is also like that. Yes, and like Runaway Railway and the new Ratatouille ride are basically, how do we get you from one IMAX screen to another? Because the Ratatouille ride, you're also in that same ride system, which is the same ride system that Rise of the Resistance uses. But you're going, you're in these IMAX screens, and you're going from one end to another. And a lot of rides now are that, and I guess it's cheaper. There's less things to break, I guess, than doing like the traditional animatronic rides. But yeah, that's a lot of the ones at Universal. Like there were six of them that were all the same. And like, and I think Back to the Future started it. And we did ride the Simpsons ride, which is basically the Back to the Future rethemed, where it's the one IMAX screen. You go up to one IMAX screen and then you fly around and they move you around. Now they take you to multiple IMAX screens, and each IMAX screen you only see for like 10 seconds. And then you go to the next one. Yeah, and Questbuster says, it's nothing like the original Journey into Imagination, but I guess it's easier to maintain. We did ride the Journey into Imagination with Figment, because they did put Figment back after taking Figment away. We did ride that one at Epcot. And we also rode the interesting thing about Spaceship Earth, which is the big, I call it the golf ball. It is a, my wife kept telling me, no, it's a Class 2 geodesics something. I don't know. At the end, I remember as a kid, when you were going backwards at the end, it was like showing you a whole bunch of stuff about the future. And like they had to like fix it when like the internet came out. Now it's just dark. That part going backwards is like now dark, and they have you watch the screen, and it's a little interactive element on the screen. That's how they fix that. Questbuster asks, Figment's back. So the thing about Figment, the Journey to Imagination at Epcot Center, which originally had Figment, is they rethemed it and took Figment away. And the backlash was so large that they almost immediately took it back offline and put Figment back. Like, it was, like, within years. Like, it was a very quick turnaround because people wanted Figment. They wanted the original animation song or Imagination song that gets stuck in everybody's head. So Figment's all around. Like that ride is now all about Figment. It's not like the original ride. It is more, you know, being with the it was the ride that they rethemed, and they basically had Figment come in and be the catalyst for everything. And it was kind of interesting going through like a lot of those rides and being like, oh, thank you so much, 1990s Patrick Warburton for this, or you know, 2000s Felicia Rashad and the dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom that they're closing in February, which is the Indiana Jones ride system, was the dinosaur ride at Animal Kingdom, but it's going away on February 1st. And Breakman says, relaxing rides, I'd be all about that. There are actually a lot of relaxing rides, especially at the Disney parks. Spaceship Earth, relaxing. There is a Avatar ride in Animal Kingdom that's basically, it's a Small World Navi edition. And it's a relaxing boat ride going through things. There are several of those, like, relaxing rides. Yeah, and as Sharon and Matt says, the Aerosmith coaster is being rethemed to Muppets. Yes, and unfortunately, Rock and Roller Coaster has three inversions, and so I can't ride it. So I will not be enjoying the new Muppets. And the Muppets areas is gone. There is no place in the parks that sells Muppets. They didn't even, like, temporarily move it to where Rock and Roller Coaster is now. But yeah, they're building the Monsters, Inc. lab. Yeah, Questbuster says the Wedway People Mover is relaxing. That's kind of like the Yoshi ride that's at Super Nintendo World, is basically the People Mover. So yeah, so there's all this other stuff that I had planned for on the show, and I decided to talk theme parks. So I'm sorry if you were here for video game news. I did not watch the Game Awards, by the way. Because I was that was the night we were at Hollywood Studios. We were actually riding rides and stuff. So I do know that Expedition 33 won a lot of things, and maybe we'll hold this question for next time. What do you consider an indie game? How about that? How about this? Why don't you tell me what you consider an indie game as an indie game? And we will, maybe talk about it, because I guess Expedition 33 won Best Indie Game, and everybody's like, they're not indie. And I'm like, but they are, but apparently now we're moving the goalpost as to what is indie, and I want to see what you feel about what is indie. I do know that they won a whole bunch of awards. I did not watch all the discussion I've seen about the Game Awards were how disappointing the announcements were, which means it's not an award show. All people cared about was what was announced. And, you know, like, yes, I guess there was a trailer for the new Street Fighter movie. I'll check that out at some point. Yeah, and SJR Matt says everyone wanted Expedition 33 to win, and then everyone was mad that they won everything. And Breakman even says, who cares about the awards? Only thing that matters is that Capcom remembered Mega Man's 40th birthday. So, like, Breakman's like, I don't care about the awards. Give me trailers. So this is really Winter Games Fest is what it was. So we'll talk about that maybe last week or next week. Well, yeah, last week. I'm in the time travel mode. So why don't we do this? We're gonna go a little bit long tonight. And then afterwards, we are going to do marbles on stream. So what we're going to do is I'm actually going to take this call that's on the green room, because I just looked over and I was like, hey, somebody's in the green room. So we're going to take some calls here. So I'm going to drag this person in and see who it is. So Bobby Black will show you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby, how's it going? It's Ronma.
Ronma, what's going on, man?
Not too much. First things first, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, doing some editing, got some anime going, and I got your show on, and you're talking about Super Nintendo World, so I had to listen closely for this.
Yeah, no, and I spent a lot of time on it. Yeah, and I thought of you because of the Luigi burger. I'm like, Ronma would like this. I don't know if you like chicken sandwiches, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, and I have to say, I feel you on the aspect of not being able to get on the rides.
Yeah, so I was actually very happy that I was able to, because it was Universal because of because everything was in Japan, like from Japan, that mm-hmm. That was the one I was worried about, like, because in Japan the seats are smaller because Japanese are smaller people, and what Universal says is we had to decide if we wanted to be safe for adults or be safe for children. We couldn't do both, so we decided to be safe for children, and that means some larger adults shouldn't be in. But we were able to get in. Like, it was not a big problem there. But yeah, some of them, it was tight, and my wife is also larger and has broad shoulders and has bigger calves than I do, and so that's where some of the stuff comes in. Have you had trouble getting into rides?
Yes. I don't know about Universal, because I was there last year and I don't remember. But when I went to Universal Japan, every ride, there is a car there that you can get in and see if you can fit.
Yes. And they had those as well. So we were able to go and check that and get the green light to show up with the bar on Mario Kart. So, yeah, we were able to do that. We couldn't find the one for Flights of Passage, which is the one that we couldn't get on. So we didn't see that till we actually got there.
I feel you on that.
Yeah. So, but everything else, we were basically able to get in. And it was so they do provide that, and they have, like, the little green light that tells you if the bar can make it all the way down. Because that's, I think, the thing. It's like we fit in the seats, but then it's the bar needs to go down so far.
Yeah, not fully secured in. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah.
Which is amazing because Mario Kart is not a fast ride. It's really slow. They do jerk you around left and right, like you rotate, but you're not going fast. So I'm like, why are you securing us this much? But yeah, what else is on your mind?
Yeah, I want to talk about that. And I actually got my power up band, and I don't know about Epic Universe, but in Universal Japan, you have the option to get it engraved. So I have two power up bands, because what happened was I went to go buy one, and my friend who came with me, I did not know she was going to buy me one as well. So I have two Luigi power up bands. But the difference is Mine is
there it is.
Engraved with my name in Kana. So I think that's really cool.
That's cool. If they did, we didn't see it. I will also say we bought these the day before in Universal City Walk. That way we basically already had it on our account, so we could just go straight there and start hitting blocks.
Okay. If I remember correctly, we actually went into the park. As soon as you walked right into the park, there is a store. There's like the Universal store and all that, and they have the bands there. Yeah. And in the corner area of the store, they have the name engraving service there.
Okay, I did not see that. I didn't know it was there, so I didn't look.
I wonder if it's just for Universal Japan only.
Yeah, I don't know. There was a lot of overlap. Like, I could tell that they were doing a lot of these things because it was interesting. I did notice that the safety video for Mario Kart had basically the animation was of Japanese people putting on like all the safety videos. So like it was definitely this all they're using all the same assets everywhere.
That's definitely true.
Yeah. But these are amiibo, by the way, for people that missed at the beginning. They're regular amiibo. You can use them in Smash. You can use them in whatever.
And the funny thing is, I did not realize that these were amiibos until a few days ago, because a friend of mine went to Epic Universe. He mentioned something about connecting it with the Switch. And I'm like, what do you mean you can connect this with the Switch to unlock something from Mario Kart 8? And he said it. I was like, I never knew that, you know? And then...
But it basically registers as like the generic character amiibo. So like I have Diddy Kong, which is like the one that doesn't work in Mario Kart 8, but it works in other things. But my wife got Peach, so it would unlock the Peach outfit, or it would do something in, you know, in the Mario games. And this would work in Bonanza; it would give me something. But it's basically it's an amiibo that you wear on your wrist.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but did you do any of the Power Band mini games?
So we did do, I defeated Bowser Jr. We actually did the Bowser Jr. Fight twice. So, and that meant we actually got, I think we did four of the key minigames. One of the key minigames was down. And then, I think we did, wound up doing the other four, or I think the other five. The one I hated the most is there's this one, and it's a timing game, where there's a shell going really slowly, bouncing, and it goes into a pipe, and you have to hit a POW block to get it to go up and hit the POW block on the top. And little kids were getting it and making it happen. Old, you know, people who like were just doing it for fun were able to get it. I could not get it to go.
I did not see that one because when we went, it was a little crowded, even though we had. When we went, we got they gave us the timed option. So we went in around 3 o'clock. We were there, had a good time. And the one that we had a bit of trouble with was the piranha plant one. We just couldn't get the alarm clocks off in time. So, but that was so fun to do.
Yeah, we did. We actually did get the piranha plant one. So the piranha plant one, for those that haven't been there, because it takes a little bit to explain it, there's alarm clocks. There's a bunch of alarm clocks, and as they light up, you have to go hit them. But if you hit one that's not glowing, you get frozen. And so we basically tag teamed it, my wife and I, and I was the only one that hit one that I shouldn't have hit because I accidentally double tapped one. We were able to get that one. The one we enjoyed the most was the colors. So it's like a match game or a color game where, you know, you need to get everything the same color. But there are like some arrows. So like sometimes you would hit a block and it would change this other block to a different color. So that there was that one. And then there was the, putting together a puzzle or putting together a key or something. So you would run around, touch some screens, and that would send that piece to the center, which is a jigsaw puzzle.
Okay, I don't remember that one there.
Yeah.
But one thing that was cool was you could hit the question blocks and like get coins. Yes. And sometimes the music note blocks would work if you went by and hit them. And that was really cool. So
Yeah. So we did those. The music blocks, we did get this hidden songs. There were people there with Google. I broke it. All right. I broke this. I broke the little holder thing. Whatever. I was playing with it too much.
At least yours came with a holder. When I saw yours, I went looking at mine, and I was like, oh, well, does not have one. Yeah. Okay.
It was in the way anyway. Anyway, yeah, there was a little, so for the podcast audience, there was a little, like, kind of holder to kind of hold it in place, a little kind of plastic holder that you would put them through. But I just broke it because that was probably the cheap part of this band. So it can be thrown away now. So the music blocks, yeah, like, because there's stamps for the for all this stuff. And the music blocks, we actually had some people there that are like, okay, when it's red, you want to hit like 1-3-4, 1-3-4 or whatever, because there's seven notes blocks. And then you would get a hidden song, and that would be another stamp, and that would get you higher on the leaderboard and things like that. So we actually had some friends with Google that there are some people there with Google that were helping us all get those and trying to, like, we were angering parents by, like, telling them, no, don't let your kid hit a block, because if a kid hits a block, it cancels it out. And people were just I want my kid to just make some noise and, you know, hit him. So I wouldn't recommend going to try to play the metagame, at least on your first try. Because it does get a little frustrating, because other people, like the binoculars, we couldn't figure out. So there are these binoculars that are actually like a TV screen.
And you need to find
certain things, like zoom in on Rosalina and zoom in on this. And you have to wait for it to register. It has to go to a black screen. Then when you walk up, it reads your amiibo, and that's how it knows you're playing. But the act of waiting for that black screen, somebody else's kid, they would run up and just go, you know, look around, because it's a very confusing mini game going on there. So,
well, at least you made it into the cafe there. I didn't make it into Kinopio's cafe
twice. We did it twice. So the way they do it at Orlando is you get in line, and while you're in line, you order on the app. And that's how they get people through quickly. And it was a pretty big room. It was pretty big. We never saw it full. But when we were in the line, it was a pretty quick line to get in.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. We did eat at Universal. I will say the pizza there was quite good. I was vastly impressed. But one last thing, and I'll be on my merry little way. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, but in Universal Japan, when you're on the path going to Super Nintendo World, if you look at the ground, you see numbers like 200, 400, 800. And if you keep going, you see the one-up as you make your way to Super World. I thought that was really cool. And I think if you step on them, you actually hear the coin sound effect until you get to the one-ups.
I don't know I don't think they had that here. This one, you had to go like up an escalator, and that was the pipe. You went up an escalator to get in, because it's a very vertical land. It's on multiple stories, so you go up an escalator in the pipe, and that takes you through Peach's Castle, and then you exit out of Peach's Castle, and you're on the second level, and so you have to go down or around and things. So
it was kind of like that there. You just walk the path, they check your ticket, you're like, oh, you can go in, and you just walk through the pipe through Peach's Castle, and then you're there. But there is like a long set of stairs going down to some of the other rides and events and to the souvenir shops.
So there were stairs there, and there was even a hidden Bowser on one of the stairs, and we finally got tired of taking the stairs, so we took the elevators, because, you know, I'm not that old, but I am old, and my knees
stop. No, trust me. I feel you. Believe you me, I feel you on that.
All right, Rama, it's always good to hear from you. Anime Jam Session is Tuesday nights, and a new Orange Lounge Radio 2DX, I hear, coming up.
I've been hearing good things about that, too.
More information about that in the coming weeks. Thanks so much. I appreciate you.
Anytime, Bobby. I got you. Take care, brother.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. Yeah, and you can also join our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord, throughout the week. Stick around if you're here live. We are going to play some marbles on stream. That was a lot of fun last time. We're going to see if we're going to have some fun about with it this time around. Just have something going on here. So, yeah, so if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make this work without people who go above and beyond. So thank you so much for the people who subscribed and put in some cheers in this time that we are kind of, you know, in between shows and everything. Dark Tatia resubscribed saying happy 59 months in a row. Also a 44 month streak. Thank you so much. Fifth Dream says happy all the holidays, especially Halloween's LOL. Pod Culture says Twitch Mass is weird because it's the 77 and 79 month streak. Sean322 resubscribed saying, woo, 37. Also, cheered 200 bits saying, hoip. As Sharon and Matt cheered 250 bits saying, happy Hanukkah. And DJ Rama S cheered 25 bits. We did have a hype train going on earlier. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to go ahead and hit the button and get out of here. And yeah, and then stick around. We will play some marbles on stream right after this. We're going to have some fun with that. Play it for a little bit just to have something to do here on this Sunday night. Here's the button that plays us out. So thank you so much. I will see you next week. We'll actually talk about video games. I promise. And not just theme parks. Anyway, see you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.